morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. It's sunny in Washington. I hope it is there too, wherever you're from. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. It's sunny in Washington. I hope wherever you are.
Sunny. What line am I on? I'm on line two.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm talking to myself. I'm on line two. I thought I was on line one. I'm trying to figure out the phone.
I've been doing that all morning.
Well, I was going to put it on so Denny could listen. And
well, do you liking this weather?
Oh, loving it.
Good. Nice. Enjoying while we can, I guess.
Yeah, why the best?
So join us this morning on the call.
Good morning, it's Betty.
Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Lovey.
Well, it's another good ending to a good week, that's for sure. I don't know if I like all this warm weather because it's, the yard just wants to go crazy. And I want it to slow down. Yeah.
Denny says, tell me about it.
I imagine you folks have an awful lot to mow down.
I'm doing the raspberries and blueberries and trying to keep the weeds out of all of them.
That's for sure. Well, it's 7:04. I think we'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everybody to the call. It's on the call. Appreciate you. Whether you're on the landline or cell phone or whether you're driving along in your car, it's a pleasure. Our mission, of course, is to educate and teach and give as much knowledge and wisdom that we possibly can for each individual to take it and absorb it however they choose to. And that's the purpose of why we're here. So basically one of the things, does anybody have any comments or anything you'd like to make starting out this day? Or something maybe you'd like to discuss or anything like that? Well, what I did, trying to think what I was going to talk about today, and there was an article that appeared that kind of hit me. I think it hit me because I appreciate governments and all they do and everything else, but there comes a time when sometimes I wonder why they make the decisions they do and why they take so long doing what they're doing, and particularly the FDA. Every agency has its pros and its cons, and it was an article that said that I was reading. It said,
"Has arrived."
It says, "Is antibacterial soap safe?" And I know it seems like wherever I go nowadays, whether you went to my foot doctor the other day when she took me into the room, she put on some antibacterial soap.
Has arrived.
Before she started to work on me and my feet, I was just, every time I go to some place, there's always antibacterial soap around, or something when you walk into an office or location, there's always alcohol and stuff, things that you can put on your hands there, those gels that they have. And I know that's different than antibacterial soap, but I know at one time a lot of people were using antibacterial soap, and it came about for reasons of just trying not to spread diseases, but in getting bacteria off our hands, particularly for infections and that sort of stuff. But I was just reading this article yesterday, and it was printed by the AP, which is a news organization, dated yesterday, May 2nd, and it says that it's a chemical that has been in U.S. households for more than 40 years. from the body wash in our bathroom shower to the knives on our kitchen counter to the bedding in our baby's bassinet. But federal health regulators are just now deciding whether triclosan, I believe that's the way you pronounce it. I'll spell it. It's T-R-I-C-L-O-S-A-N. The germ-killing ingredient found in an estimated 75% of all antibacterial liquid soaps and body washes sold in the U.S. is ineffective or worse, harmful. It goes on to say that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is planning to deliver a review this year of whether triclosan is safe. The ruling, which will determine whether triclosan continues to be used in household cleaners, could have implications for a $1 billion industry that includes hundreds of antibacterial products from toothpaste to toys. And when I read that toothpaste, I almost thought to myself that was just, I didn't think of things like that being in toothpaste other than antibacterial type soap. But the agency review comes amid growing pressure from lawmakers, consumer advocates, and others who are concerned about the safety of triclosan. Recent studies of triclosan in animals have led scientists to worry that it could increase the risk of infertility, early puberty, and other hormone-related problems in humans. And I remember Char's statement yesterday when we were talking about GMOs and how that, yes, it does kill the mice and rats. And I guess in reading this article, I thought to myself, you know, that all the problems that we're starting to have with the early obesity and things like that. To me, it looks like the risk, this is the article, not me, but it says, to me, it looks like the risk outweigh any benefit associated with these products right now, said a professor at the University of College School of Public Health. At this point, it's just looking like a superfluous chemical. And superfluous, I kind of thought about that word, and I realized that it basically is something that industries always utilize words like that in regards to making people feel.
Genie has arrived.
Because it's going to kill all the germs and everything else or whatever that particular chemical is designed for. But the concerns over triclosan offer a sobering glimpse at a little known fact.
Linda Morse
has arrived.
Never been formally approved by the U.S. health regulator. That kind of blew my mind, too. And that's because many germ-killing chemicals were developed decades ago before there were laws requiring scientific review of cleaning ingredients. The controversy also highlights how long it takes the federal government, and this was my comments as I started reading this article, how long it takes the federal government to review the safety of such chemicals. It's not uncommon for the process to drag on 2 years, since regulators must review volumes of research. Of course, the government, when they do things, they always want to have public hearings and make up a lot of drafts.
In
the case of triclosan, Congress passed a law in 1972 requiring that the FDA set guidelines for dozens of common antibacterial chemicals found in over-the-counter soaps and scrubs. The guidelines function like a cookbook for manufacturers, which basically details which chemicals can be used in what products and in what amounts. But what I understand and I feel I know about manufacturers of food products or whatever, there is always a guideline, but they always have ways of getting around those guidelines and using different verbs or different terminologies in regards so that they can still utilize the product. The FDA published several drafts of the guidelines over the years, but the agency never finalized the results, which in my opinion is quite common. So companies have not had to remove triclosan from their products. It says, goes on to say that meanwhile the agency did approve triclosan, and this just blew my mind. I'll read that again. Meanwhile, the agency did approve triclosan for use in Colgate Total toothpaste in 1997 after Colgate Palmolive Company submitted data showing that the ingredients help fight gingivitis. Of course, you would imagine somebody that's going to utilize those particular chemicals in their products would show that it is beneficial. But then late last summer, the FDA said its review of triclosan would finally be completed after 1972, will be completed by late 2012. The target date then slipped to February, which is also come and gone. The pressures on the agency from outside critics didn't give up. In March, federal appeals court set a lawsuit with a nonprofit National Research and Defense Council aimed at forcing the FDA to complete its review could finally move forward. Now, 4 decades, and this is what just galls me. Now, after 4 decades, after it was charged with reviewing triclosan, the FDA is planning to complete its review. The FDA spokesman Stephanie Yao said evaluating triclosan and other antibacterial agents is one of the highest priorities for the agency. But did not offer an explanation for the delay. Doesn't that sound so common? It just, you know, I read this and I go, you know, sometimes they must think we're really, they kind of think we're stupid to make comments like that. But thanks,
and, you know, the other thing, Monty, is of course it's going to help gingivitis. I mean, if it's killing stuff out, it would kill that out too. But, you know, what's the other side of it, like they always say?
I know.
To make
read this article, I just really, I kind of laughed, but, and I'm taking it serious, but, you know, but I do find that some of our agencies are just, you know, it's all that old theory again, just follow the dollar. When the FDA first started evaluating the rules governing triclosan use, Richard Nixon was still president. As science has evolved, and so should FDA's regulations guiding the use of chemicals in consuming products. U.S. scientists agree that the FDA's review is overdue. The Endocrine Society, a group of doctors and scientists who specialize in the hormone system, flagged triclosan 4 years ago as an ingredient that alters levels of thyroid hormones and reproductive hormones like testosterone, and estrogen. I think the FDA is behind the curve. This article, Dr. Andrea Gore said from the University of Texas at Austin, who was the lead author of the Endocrine Society's statement on hormone and disrupting chemicals. Some Americans are shocked that the FDA has taken so long. Mallory Smith is troubled to learn that the government has never confirmed the safety of antibacterial soap's key ingredients. And I have that little sentence underlined. Some Americans were shocked the FDA took so long. It is troubled that the government has never confirmed the safety of antibacterial soap's key ingredient. Others are less surprised by the government's multi-decade review. It sounds like a typical government agency to me, said David Fisher, who sells restaurant equipment in Arizona. It goes on to say that, ironically, triclosan first became widely used because it was considered safer than an older antibacterial ingredient, hexachlorophene. The chemical was banned from household items in 1972 after FDA scientists discovered that toxic levels could be absorbed through the skin. Several infant deaths in France were connected to baby powder that contained unsafe levels of the chemical due to manufacturing error. And when I read that, it just kind of blows my mind. It goes on to say, and I'll just end this article, I'll skip some of the stuff, but it says, Kaiser Permanente pulled triclosan from its 37 hospitals across the country in 2010, switching to traditional soaps, get this,
has arrived,
and alcohol-based hand sanitizers. If there is credible evidence that a product we're using might have some disadvantages from a health or environmental standpoint, then it's our obligation to look at it for a safer, effective. Johnson & Johnson has pledged to move triclosan from all of its adult products by the end of 2015. The company says none of its baby products currently contain the ingredient. And I'm going to kind of leave it at there. Just one more thing. We want people to have complete peace of mind when they use our products. Of course they would, because it's money. Said the company made the announcement last summer. an article was written in 2013 by the Associated Press. Anybody have any comments like to make? In other words, it all goes back to traditional soap, folks, utilizing traditional soap products that we've used for many years in my life, but now they're stating that the best way to do it is, and I'm sure you all heard this, is to at least wash your hands for 20 seconds or sing the song Happy Birthday, and that takes, I guess, about 20 seconds to get through. But this literally blows my mind.
And on the other part of it, Monty, is by the year 2015, excuse me, it reminds me of the chemical that's used in the nonstick pans and the stupid comment by one of the deliverers of the message, and that was they keep extending it as to what their deadline is. And he says at the end of reading the, you know, the article or the information on it, the newscaster says, you know, you guys don't worry about it. They got years to get it off the market. He says, don't rush out and buy other pans and throw these away. He says, that would be stupid. I'm going, you idiot. when they've attributed deaths to that chemical. And, you know, years and years ago when I read it on the label, do not allow any birds in the area where you're cooking with this, because it can affect their respiratory system. Excuse me? You know, what do they send the birds into the coal mine for? I mean, does it take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out? That was incredible. I've got somebody right now that I've been working with for over a year, and with a thyroid issue, and, you know, I don't know what they're using in their house, but they're sure going to hear about this as soon as I'm off the call.
Well, Shar, you've been talking. I can remember when these calls first got started way back when. So I remember you and even Vance on his Saturday morning call even talking about what you just said, the comment that you just made about Teflon, you know, and how that's, you know, if that just rings in my ear when you repeat that, and how many years ago that you and Vance were giving this warning about it and talking about the bird, you know, and everything else. And just, I don't know about,
and,
I don't know.
And do you remember the person in, I think it was under Mary Jane, I might be getting the wrong person, so I better not say a name. But anyway, the son of one of the leaders almost died because he heated up, was boiling some water in a pan. He felt, that's what I thought, it was under Mary Lou Denny's affirming that. But anyway, he was boiling water in the pan and he sat down in the chair. He fell asleep, and had it not been for his separated wife or whatever, ex-wife, whatever it was, coming into the room and finding him there, like, passed out, she called her mother, as the story goes on, and the mother says, don't leave him there. Get emergency. Don't leave him there. And they got him in, and they said, they didn't know at the time whether it would be permanent liver damage or not, but he would not have made it had he not been found. And that was a pan boiling dry on the stove. Now, that's unusual, but, oh, my goodness, how often... I mean, every one of us on the call has had a pan boil dry or overheat and burn something on it, and it was the fumes given off from it. I mean, that's, you know, we get away from the time frame that it happened in, and we don't talk about it anymore, so it's past tense, and it's of no relevance, supposedly, and they're still putting them out. Now, I don't know what new chemicals they've got in the new pans. I have one in my kitchen, and it's rarely, rarely ever used. And I shouldn't have it at all, but it's there. And I don't know what the new coating is. It's not an old one, trust me. And there's no marks on the bottom of it, and they never touch it with a metal. But that's only part of the story. So, guys, there's other ways of doing it. Cast iron works wonderful for 99% of the things that you would use for a nonstick pan. So.
What do you think about these new ceramic types starting to get quite a bit of
I don't know. I don't know because I don't know what they're, you know, what they're doing with it. And, you know, most of that stuff that comes in, just like you say, it, I mean, how long has Teflon been around and it's still there? I don't know how the new stuff, everybody says it's safe, but, you know, how can you believe it when you don't see anything on the other side yet?
Yeah, I know.
I guess I'm skeptical. You know, with age, all these things that come down and don't have any money behind them to try and disprove them because we've only got so much to go so far, and we try and take the things off that we know. I don't know. I know what I can stick with, and that is the cast iron and the stainless steel. You know, those things that are natural. When a doctor, an MD, will tell you the best way to get iron is to take an ungalvanized nail, am I saying it right, honey? Ungalvanized nail, stick it in an apple, let it turn black, and then eat the apple. Best source of utilizing iron that we could possibly have. Now, it can't be plated with something, guys. It has to be an old-fashioned nail, and I guess you can still buy them, Denny? Yeah, he says you can still get them. By the way, we need a couple of those nails in here. We've got a person that's very low on, so if you bring them in, 16-penny nail? Okay, he's saying yes to me. This is an MD that is an internist. Now, he says, don't laugh at me, please, when he's in his office saying it, and then he was reminded to say it in front of the group that he was training. Probably in his close to 60 now, and years and years of experience with it, and he says it just shows you get better absorption. And iron is one that most women should not have in their diet because of contraindications of, you know, we're getting on the average enough. But some people are low, and when they are, they're searching for something to use. So anyway. It sounds great, crazy, I know, but it's been used for years and years and years, so take it or leave it.
Yep, got that right. One of the other things I'd like to mention this morning is we've been hearing an awful lot about lately in articles and whatever, and that is that sitting for an extended period of time is an independent risk factor for poor health and premature death. And it was interesting, I get Dr. Merkel's newsletter along besides a lot of other ones, but it was an interesting lady on there yesterday from NASA that basically was talking about that they finding now that just moderate type of exercise is very important, but her analysis, or the analysis of 18 studies, found that people who sat for the longest periods of time, of course, were twice as likely to have diabetes or heart disease compared to those who sat the least. And I'm just going to hit on story at a glance. But it goes on to say the research by a former NASA scientist shows that your body needs perpetual motion to function optimally. The good news is that there are virtually unlimited opportunities for movement throughout the day, from doing housework or gardening to cooking and even just standing up for 10 to 15 minutes. And she goes on to say that to compensate for long hours spent sitting down at work, you could incorporate, Dr. Merkel says this, it's called foundation training exercising. But what they're finding, and I've read this too recently, that the grounding by walking barefoot outside is another grossly neglected foundational practice for optimal health that can easily be corrected. And what they're finding is that basically, if you sit for more than 15 minutes, what you should be doing is just getting up. But she goes on to say that in the video that's on there, that just normal motions like sitting in a chair and just standing up. And if you do that 15 to 20 times, I think she said, or maybe it was longer times a day, that is perpetual motion, and they're finding that is beneficial. And of course, I thought of you, Shar, and Denny, and other people on this call that do a lot of cooking, and she even talked about just stirring a spaghetti sauce and, you know, in a pan, and those perpetual motions that our bodies are so used to been doing over the years, and you know, and Denny out working and you guys out working in the garden and, you know, other people that have gardens and how the just movement is so important. That just that perpetual motion is basically very, very beneficial to people. But just like vacuuming the floor, just doing all those kind of things, just moving is something that seems to be very, very important, and they're starting to understand it. And I know that when I had my situation here not being able to move the way that I used to move, and that was one of the things I got. I read an article from NASA talking about how rebounding was very, very, that's one of the ways they train astronauts, and the exercise they utilize the most is the gravity. In other words, how to get gravity, that when we can apply gravity to our body, that it's actually better, and that's what actually walking does, or jogging, or whatever. But they found that rebounding is the best, because when you rebound at the top of your rebound, in other words, or a trampoline, a rebounder is nothing more than a mini trampoline, but when you hit the top of your jump, or whether it be 6 inches, or whether it be a foot that you're rebounding, is that the top is the zero gravity, and then as your body goes down and hits the bottom of the trampoline, that's where you get the maximum gravity. Now, the reason this is important is because we have cartilages and all those other kind of things in our joints, and when we rebound, as an example, that we're actually utilizing every joint, every joint and muscle in our body, so that way that it can actually kind of gets rid of the toxins within our cells and everything else. As you know, we know that a cell doesn't have a pump, I believe. It basically just motion or pressure against it is one of the ways to release the toxins within our cells and our muscles, and so they found the rebounding, and so I do that every day now. I enjoy it, and I feel I'm getting some real benefit from it. The other thing that I think was real important, I round up an article, and it was all about, no wonder there's an obesity crisis, according to the Center for Disease Control, and this came out of the Cleveland Leader this morning. It says that basically that physical activity, of course, nowadays we're not even getting the kind of physical activity, particularly our kids, and I think that's one of the reasons we have so much obesity in children, along with sugar and a lot of other crazy things that's going on with our children and what's in their food, but I just don't think they're getting the physical exercise. But the U.S. government's physical activity guidelines for Americans recommend that adults walk for at least 2.5 hours per week or jog at least 1 hour and 15 minutes a week, in addition to aerobic exercise. And I think that's, like I say, I kind of look at government and think about certain things and how I particularly feel about it, but I do feel that exercise is very important. But whether you can get up and exercise or do a lot of exercise, but just normal things that we do, but just don't try to sit down too much, and if you do, just stand up, because she talked about how that's gravity and how gravity works beneficial to our body in doing what it needs to do in regards to preventing a lot of situations. So I know Americans are doing a lot more sitting because of computers and everything else. I can remember when people used to have to get up and walk to a printer in an office because they didn't have one at their desk, and now it seems like everybody, and even in our homes and offices, we can print stuff off and sit at our desk working a computer and never move for 3 or 4 hours or get up because of all the technology that we have today. Well, it's 7:30. Anybody have any other comments you'd like to make or any? Thing you'd like to talk about? Any suggestions?
No, good information, Monty.
Well, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being on the call, not only today, but all week. I know last week I was pretty absent, and from getting back from Austin, I took some time and did some things that I wanted to get done and wanted to sleep in for a little bit, if you don't mind me saying that and being frank with you. But it's a pleasure to be back on the call this week, and I know that each and every one of us get a lot of benefit from this, a lot of knowledge and wisdom, and appreciate each and every one of you that speak up. And for those that host the call, it's just a wonderful call to be on, and what a wonderful, wonderful way, not only to start a day, but what a great way to end the week. Each and every one of you have a good one. Go out and give somebody a hug. Remember, smile. They smile back. That's a yes. If they don't smile back, find somebody that can repeat. When you smile back to you, and you might want to talk to them about something that you feel they can do to increase their benefit of health and financial in their world today. Great day. And, of course, I'm talking about Nican. We'll talk to you, listen to you all on Monday.
Thank you, Monty.
Thanks.
You bet.
To learn more about Nican, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.